Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for visiting our sponsors and supporters, and just tell them you heard about them on the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. We're glad that you're with us. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Diane Bauer.
Pat Park.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
Very good. Now we got to figure out what we're going to talk about, and I think the first thing we're going to do is we're going to go to the governor's office in North Carolina. What happened?
Well, another veto.
He vetoed a bill that requires the state to cross-check voter registration rolls with death notices. Would he veto that?
And there were other things in the bill, too, to shorten the extra days or the early days.
Early voting.
How long a ballot could be challenged after an election and how many days of...
Yeah, it was part of the election integrity package.
I think the
Republicans passed.
The pain in the some part of the body for the governors, he waited X number of days so it didn't become law by itself, but he waited till the very last moment to finally veto it, believing that there's not enough time to come back and do the override. Folks, come on back. Do the override.
Amen.
Yes. Why would you oppose taking dead people off the
vote? Why are you asking that question? You know the answer.
Because they want to cheat.
Because the dead have been voting for Democrats for decades.
That's right.
There you go.
And the South is very proud of tradition. I told you my light bulb joke. How many Virginians does it take to change a light bulb? Three. One to screw on the bulb and two to reminisce about the old bulb.
That sounds about right.
Well, there's been articles about some audits that have been done already on comparison of death certificates and voter rolls, and the number of dead people that voted in the last election. It happened. People say it doesn't happen. It does happen.
And, you know, and we'll go back to, I'm going to go back to Justice Paul Newby when he was elected by 400 votes. Now, there was a lot of challenges in there. Mm-hmm. Elected by 400 votes, which is essentially four votes per county.
Yes.
It doesn't take an awful lot to swing. And I think in the more recent Griffin election, same thing happened. And there's a lot of questionable ballots in that election.
Now, well, in the news this morning, Trump said, I did win the 2020 election because they're analyzing the census against the government files, and they've already found 24,000 illegals that have voted, and they still have 32 million ballots left to analyze. And he only lost by 10,000?
Whatever the calculated amount was, yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm mad that he lost the election in 2020, had it stolen from him. But in retrospect, I'm happy that it happened because I think he has been able to get a lot of things done this term that he wouldn't have been able to do in a consecutive term. And I think that a lot of the injustices that occurred during that time would not have come out if it hadn't come to light through the Biden.
And I think he put a better team together for himself. He had 4 years to really solidify what he wanted to get done and had the right people in place who are really working for America and not working against him.
I know. When you look back at his cabinet, yes, how many of them were revealed to be stabbing him in the back?
Correct.
Right.
Is shocking.
Insiders, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shocking.
Well, he put together a cabinet of never-Trumpers. Essentially.
Right.
Because he didn't know. And he was running it like a business.
And he trusted people, which was horrible.
You know, I'm going to play the Rush Limbaugh card right now. Okay? Because Rush always rattled a piece of paper.
Formerly nicotine-stained hand.
Yes.
Formerly nicotine-stained.
We all remember that.
There's another piece of paper here on the legislative victories within the House in 2023.
In the North Carolina House.
And Pat, that's the exact point. Here are victories in the North Carolina House. Put up one hand and tell me how many victories we've had in the U.S. House.
one big, beautiful bill. That was it.
Trump has had a lot of victories. Now, I can't say they came from the House. They come from somewhere up there.
He's done a lot of things through executive
order. Yes.
That it would have been very nice if Congress had passed through, because Congress hasn't passed them. If we get a Democrat president, they will be totally undone.
They remain as executive orders.
To that point, that's why we get through this election. They need to codify everyone that is very important, which most of them are. That needs to be the work that they take on and get that done over the next 2 years so it is done.
And the scary part is that unless the Republicans turn out for this election and vote for their candidate, and excuse me, we're a 501c3, but I'm still entitled as an individual to have my opinion. Unless the Republicans get out, the Democrat Congress will spend the next 2 years impeaching President Trump, and nothing will get done, and it is possible that some of his stuff will get undone.
Well, we can say Trump's got two more years, but really, if we don't maintain control of the House and the Senate, we have November to January to get things codified.
Speaking of maintaining control of the Senate, Mary, you and I had this conversation when Lindsey Graham died, and they appointed his sister, and I said that's a mistake because she's either not going to run or she's not going to be a viable candidate.
And that's happening.
And that's happening. I was listening to Buck and Clay on the way over, and they had a debate last night, and she was asked a question about should we send troops to defend Taiwan if China invades, and she didn't have an answer. I'm not up on that subject.
Ooh.
She also said that 50 million people live in South Carolina. 50 million. It's 5 million.
That's a lot.
Said 50 million.
Who was the debate with? Was it with that?
Ralph Norman.
Okay.
And he's solid.
Who's probably the better candidate?
Well, he's been in the House for 6 years or something.
Well, one thing about Ralph Norman, and I did hear it on the Clay and Buck on the drive over here, he was the only person in office that supported the frontline doctors during COVID. He was the only one. So I think that's a feather in his hat.
Yeah. So he's an independent thinker.
Well, he's a businessman, too, because he grew a construction company to a large. So he's made his money. He's not depending on grift in Congress. But I've never heard of him. But my point being, she's not just because she's his sister does not make her qualified to be one of only 100 U.S. senators.
And a point was made that, hey, if we believe Trump's got a good agenda, if she follows Trump's agenda, that's great. When Trump leaves, you know, she's not going to be well.
Soon. Well, and she says, well, I'm not up on the China-Taiwan thing. What, you haven't been living in the country paying any attention whatsoever to politics?
She might not have.
Yeah, and that makes her not a good candidate.
Well, one of the things about South Carolina, Glenn and I lived there for a while, and we lived in Columbia, and they are very steeped in tradition. They are very steeped in old money and in legacy, and I would look at the Graham seat as a legacy thing, just like they were talking about attorneys who couldn't get jobs in Charleston unless they were somehow connected to South Carolina because the legacy is so strong. But we lived where we lived in Columbia for 6 years, and we were still, quote, the new people. When people would talk about us, you know, on the street, we were still the new people. And it was very obvious that it was very tight. A very tight community, yeah.
That's what it was like for me when I was in New Mexico. You're not from here, are you?
Yeah.
Well, duh.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was told shortly after we moved there that I was never going to make it in South Carolina because I was from Ohio, and General Sherman was from Ohio, and he burnt Columbia in the Civil War. And I wanted to say, yeah, and he was my granddad. You know?
Oh, yeah, that would have been great. That would have been the best comeback.
But just because I moved from Ohio, I was personally responsible for General Sherman burning Columbia. And this, well, actually, I shouldn't have said war. It was the Wawa of Northern aggression.
Quit making fun of their accent.
I love their accent. I practiced a long time to get it that good.
Well, that ain't very good, but all right.
But it's interesting. Now, there's a primary, isn't there?
Yeah.
Has she won?
No, they had this debate last night.
It's next week.
Okay.
And they had a bunch of callers. They asked, you know, only people from South Carolina call in. The first two old dudes that called in both said, well, she's got his staff. And they've been together forever. They're all like family. So even though she doesn't know the answer now, she will. And of course, that came in for criticism because you're supposed to lead your staff, not
follow.
Not follow the staff.
The other part of that, too, is that a candidate very rarely wins their first campaign.
Correct.
Because it takes a while to learn the discipline of being on the campaign trail.
Yeah, I didn't win my first one.
And how not to step on your own feet.
Yeah. And so, you know, Ralph Norman probably has a better chance of winning that seat, maintaining that seat, than she does. And South Carolinians need to think about that because, again, the last thing we need is a Democrat.
She sounds like a Southern woman, just nice as can be.
Yes.
Not a warrior. A conservative warrior ready to take on the Democrats in the United States Senate.
And we need a warrior.
And, you know, I like to watch these sovereign citizen videos, and when there's a male sovereign citizen going against a female judge, I get so irritated because the female judge, for the most part, let them talk over them.
Oh.
And disrespect them and wear their hat in the courtroom and all this stuff. And it just aggravates the...
Rather than saying contempt of court, 10 days in jail.
But some of the women are stop talking, or you're in direct contempt, and
remove
you're going to jail.
Judge Judy, I love her.
Gotta love her.
Well, we all watched My Cousin Vinny, and we know how that works.
So we've talked about the what's going on with this one campaign. There's a lot of primaries going on. There's a lot of folks that made advancements, and a lot of, was it DSA folks that did not advance?
There was a DSA folk that advanced in Florida last night.
Yes, just last night.
And she was the black woman in the bright pink dress with the bullhorn.
Yes, she came out, yes.
Yeah.
She's
going to whoop. They talk about conservatives being violent. I don't think we hear our people saying we're going to whoop somebody.
That's a good teaser. We will be back. This is CCTA Wake Up Call. We'll be right back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back. Again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. I'm going to go off to something called a 3 a.m. public call to Muslim prayer in Minneapolis. Since 2023, Minneapolis has one of the first major cities that allows the broadcasting of the call to prayer. And because of Minneapolis's location, this could happen as early as 3:30 a.m. and as late as 11 p.m. Having been in Minneapolis in the summer, right at summertime, yes, that's when the sun's up.
Yeah, it was because it's so far north.
Yep.
Yeah, and the call to prayer is like five times a day. So this isn't, you know.
And this is broadcast across the whole city.
So when you see those, you're watching a movie and they're showing you an Arab city and you hear that music, that's the call to prayer. It's very loud. It's like a tornado signal. In Switzerland, they've done away with them. Of course, Switzerland just passed a law reducing the amount of mosques that you can build in Switzerland.
Well, I think the irony is here in the United States, we have seen areas where cities have tried to discourage the playing of church bells on Sunday morning to interfere with the hangover or whatever.
Right. Well, to go back to this Muslim thing, we were talking about this off the air. It's always disconcerting when you find out things the federal government's been doing behind the scenes that they've been doing for a while and we don't know about it. And one of the things that's just come out, probably because of all of the attention to the Muslim issue in Dearborn, Michigan and Minneapolis, is that they have special small business loans and special mortgages that are Sharia compliant that involve our government, our federal government. And the reason they have to have special loans is because the Quran forbids them from paying interest. So these loans are specially configured. Now, how they get around the interest thing, I don't know.
Well, I think we all need to go and identify as Muslims when refinance our homes.
Well, it's not that they're not paying the money, but it's structured some way that they're not calling it interest.
They're not, and there's a bank in Chicago that now does 75% of their bank's mortgage portfolios are Sharia compliant. Now, I'd love to know how they make money on that deal. But again, they're structuring them so that it's not interest.
It's not called interest.
Now, I know going back a number of years in playing the world of tax law or whatever else, that when somebody lends out money and they're bringing it in, that interest is taxable. The interest is taxable as it's getting repaid.
Income.
As income. So now, if there is no income, if you send it out, I believe the IRS was saying if you put out a no interest loan, it still has a taxable portion to it because the IRS wants their money.
Well, how is that fair representation under the law if they're picking and choosing what people don't have to pay interest on a mortgage?
Who doesn't? Yes.
Yeah, that's a problem. That is totally a problem because it's unequal treatment.
Has this been challenged legally?
Well, I just heard about it.
I think it's just breaking. I don't think it's got a chance.
It's something that's been going on. It's just that we're now hearing about it.
But I thought that this country was not recognizing Sharia law, period.
That's not, unfortunately, that's not true.
Go back to, was it the Barney Frank and what's Chris Dodd? about redlining and whatever else, where you can put out loans or whatever. This is based on race or religion or something like that.
And it gets really interesting. Freddie Mac spokesman Brad German says that the company brought more than $250 million worth of Islamic mortgages in 2007. So this has been going on for a while.
Now, what company?
Freddie Mac.
And that's a federal agency?
That's a government agency.
Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Hold most of the mortgages in the country. Mm-hmm.
So these are federal agencies that are hiding.
That are complying with Sharia law.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
How do we get around it?
Well, I think we have some questions. We need to ask some legislators.
Yeah, that's up to Congress because they can give orders to the banks.
I wonder if Trump knows.
Well, I guess challenging. Do you think that the legislature was even aware of it, or were they blinded by bureaucracy?
I think it was part of these regulatory rules that were worked out in the back room, and you know, the banks were ordered. Just like now, they're ordered. What is it that Trump's ordering them to do? They're trying to freeze out the illegals from from our banking system.
Thank God.
And so they're telling them they can't loan money to somebody unless they have citizenship. Apparently, that's a rule that the federal government's been able to promulgate to the banks without it going through Congress. So this is, you know, more of this backdoor dealing here that we don't know about.
And just think about it. How long has Nancy Pelosi been in office there that she kept pushing things through when you weren't allowed to view them before things passed?
I'm saying this went around Congress.
Yeah.
So she didn't have anything to do with it.
It is also being reported that the Trump administration is cutting illegal immigrants off from getting kickbacks from tax credit programs. This is supposed to save the taxpayers. That's us guys. Mm-hmm. An estimated $3 billion.
Which is a really important one. Is it 40 trillion we just passed? Mm-hmm. And it's growing faster than weeds in your garden.
Yeah, 50 trillion in 3 years or something like that.
I mean.
Yeah, 3 billion is 3 billion though. I'm not complaining.
Oh no, I'm saying every nickel.
Oh, how about Minneapolis Refugee of the Year? The guy that won the Refugee of the Year award.
Who raped or killed her?
That's a different guy.
That's a different one.
But
he was in the running, I'll bet.
This guy was indicted for healthcare fraud.
Oh, yeah, and he only got 6 years.
And for being part of a sex trafficking ring.
Oh, that's I didn't know about the sex trafficking. The guy that stole like $5 million.
And the food program.
On the food program and then tried to jury tamper, got like 6 years.
The guy you were talking about was, he stabbed his landlord to death. When the police came, he was covered in blood. The police officer said he'd never seen anything like it. They tried him, found him not guilty by reason of insanity, put him in a institution. The institution gave him a free pass to go out for the weekend, and he went and got his passport. The second pass they gave him, he went straight to Dulles Airport and flew to Tajikistan or something. Mm-hmm. So he's gone.
Well, this is
even though the court order said he's not to be released without further court order, the institution was letting him go on their own.
Well, this guy was responsible for the Feeding Our Future program.
Well, there's so many of them, it's hard to keep them straight.
And he received more than $5.4 million from the federal government and set up shell companies and did everything else. And then when he was on trial, he tampered with the jury, and that made the judge madder than the $5 million.
Is that the one where he gave money to this lady that was supposed to go offer it to the jurors and she kept part of it back?
I don't know about that. But anyway, he was sentenced to 6.5 years. Now, he's supposed to pay $2 million of it back. We'll see if that ever happens. But it seems to me that if you embezzled $5 million from the government, you should get a slightly longer jail term than 6 years. Maybe I'm looking at this wrong.
Well, the thing about federal sentencing guidelines is they have a complicated formula that you calculate, that here's his minimum and here's his maximum, and within that range, the judge can land anywhere he wants, and there's different factors that but the nice thing about a federal sentence is you serve it. If you get 5.5 years, you serve 5.5 years. You go to a state prison, you earn good time, mm-hmm. and which usually cuts your sentence in half or in a third. I mean, in Texas, you get credit for 3 days for every 1 day you serve. In New Mexico, you got 2 days credit for every 1 day you serve. So if you got sentenced to 3 years, you serve 1.5, less the time you serve waiting for trial, and you're gone.
And that's meaning that you serve 1 day without creating troubles.
Right, right. Yeah, if you get in trouble while you're in prison, you know, bets are off. But you'll find that most prisoners are experts on calculating their discharge date.
They're very good at math, yes. Where do we want to go?
Well, as long as we're on the subject of federal prisons, et cetera, there was more information that came out on the Mangione trial this week,
yeah.
and the fact that he pleaded guilty to the federal charge.
Which was stalking that ended in death.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking at life.
Yes.
And his sentencing is not set until December 18th. And my question is, why are we waiting until December 18th sentence the guy?
It's also been brought up that New York has very lax double jeopardy laws and that he may be able to avoid a more serious sentence
in
New York.
It's not that they have lax ones. It's that they have one because the principle of double jeopardy, and people... said, well, you can't try me in a federal court and a state court for the same crime because it's double jeopardy. That's not what the law says. The law says those are two different sovereigns. You can't be tried in a federal court twice for the same crime. You can't be tried in a state court twice for the same crime. You can be tried in a federal and a state court for what is essentially the same crime, but they're different sovereigns.
So this plea doesn't actually get him anything.
Well, they say New York has a sovereignty law that provides a defense if you've been convicted in a federal court for the same offense. But usually the same offense test is, are the elements of the crime the same? And stalking resulting in death are not the same elements as capital murder.
Right.
So I don't see how that would kick in to help him.
Part of it was to try to take the death penalty off the table.
Yes.
I think that was what they were looking for.
But, I mean, this kid murdered this man in cold blood.
Oh, premeditated, making a gun, doing it all. Come on.
I can't think of anything more deserving than the death penalty.
Well, I think what's interesting is that when you're looking at death penalty cases, there's a statute in each state's law that has a list of aggravating factors that make something eligible for death penalty. And stalking is usually on there. So he's now pled to stalking in federal court. So they're going to say that's the wrinkle in the double jeopardy is you already got him for stalking. So you're going to have to take stalking off the list on the state court, which takes the death penalty off.
Okay.
If that's the element that they're using, and I'm not sure that they are.
Okay.
Okay, folks, on that, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Round here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from round here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance, because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from round here.
Please join us at the CCTA Business and Social Meeting. We meet the fourth Thursday each month, Moore's Old Time Barbecue on Dr. MLK Boulevard in New Bern, 6:30 to 8 p.m. Your presence and participation are greatly appreciated.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. We're going to head off to...
I want to talk about the people that Trump is rescuing from overseas.
Individuals, yes.
Yes, individuals. And he's made that a priority in both of his terms. We had a Marine who got drunk and got in a fight and attacked the cops while he was on a trip to Russia. Not smart. But hey, drunk Marine, duh. But he's been languishing in a Russian prison for 4 years. That means through the Trump or through the Biden administration, who could give a rat's patootie.
And apparently Trump, not in good health.
Yeah, Trump got him out.
Having to do a prisoner exchange.
Yeah, look what happened under Biden with Beverly Griner. If the Marine had been a basketball player, a black female lesbian basketball player, he could have traded another arms merchant for her. But it was just a lowly, enlisted Marine guy who got drunk and lost his mind. So he just let him sit there. Trump got him out. And then he got another guy who's a pastor.
In Nigeria.
He was taken into custody by the bad guys. He got him out. So I give him props. Where Americans are, he puts Americans first, and he goes and gets them.
He does. He puts in the effort to get them.
Yeah, bring them home.
Not necessarily putting armed forces there, but I'm sure that he uses all the diplomatic...
Yeah, all the levers that he's got to push.
And that
I think
helps.
Part of it's just asking.
Just asking.
I can't imagine that Biden even asked for that Marine back.
Well, no. And I think as the Marine was failing... They didn't want to have a death of a Marine in Russia under captivity.
Yeah,
I'm sure they probably said, let's get rid of him before he dies, because that would cause a bigger conflict for Russia. You know, that would have been another...
Remember that incident with China?
Yeah.
And that was, I think, when Biden was president, I'm not sure, with the guy who was in China, who was in jail, and they brought him back, and he died shortly. He was a mess.
The one that had been beaten senseless?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was in North Korea.
I thought that was China. Okay.
Nope, North Korea, I guess. Okay.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I think that was North Korea.
But that kind of thing does not go over very well in terms of international relations.
Well, not when you have a president that loves America.
Right.
And Americans.
Hey, I want to change hats.
Okay.
Let's put on the WNBA hat.
Oh, I love that hat.
Okay.
I like that hat.
The shirts better.
So how many former NBA players are now lining up to work on this? What is it, the Nashville Balls team?
They're not even asking for the Nashville Balls team. They're just going to go in for the draft.
They want to go for the draft.
They're going to go for the draft.
And I think the NBA was given an opportunity to clarify their position.
They're having talks.
They're having talks.
And so they had all these women in a room, and none of them could decide what a woman was. They just, the jokes just write themselves.
You could just say, here, strip down. There, you're a girl.
You don't.
You're a boy. And different parts.
And the funny thing is, there's also a mother and daughter were threatened with expulsion from WNBA game, from a Fevers game, because they had an XXXY shirt on.
And on the back it said, sports belong to girls.
Sport, yeah. And one of them was, again, had Sophie Cunningham's name and number on it.
Yeah, these T-shirts are somehow associated with Riley Gaines. And so the XX and the XY stand for the gene
differentiation.
So the security guys at halftime brought over T-shirts and told them, you're going to have to cover up your T-shirt. But then later in the second half of the game, they showed trans rights are for everybody up on the Jumbotron. And those two women were sitting there going, how come we got to cover up? And they don't have to cover.
And they don't have to cover up. Yeah.
Well, you know, when you look at all that, you say, okay, you want to be trans, you want whatever you want to be. There's still rules of how to play fairly. You know, make trans teams then. You know, I'm all, like, if you want to be trans, great for you. I don't really care. And that's what some of the women players are saying. Be a trans person, I don't care. But if you're a man, you're going to really impinge on my professional.
But you said if you're a man.
Well, if you're trans, I'm sorry. If you're trans, you could be girl
That's
or
the
boy
whole
trans.
Point.
Then put them on their own team. Let them start their own league.
Their own league.
Trans their
league.
Own expansion team. Like
yeah, I mean, play against themselves.
I've not heard of one professional athlete woman playing on a man's team. Well, what does that tell you?
There are. There were girls that used to play football in high school. Sophie Cunningham played football in high school. She was the kicker. She was the place kicker or
yeah.
the punter.
But that's not a professional men's team.
No.
We're talking about professional sports.
But what about all the battles that were fought?
For Title IX.
To give mm-hmm. women equal scholarship rights mm-hmm. and to have girls. I mean, I remember back in the age of dinosaurs when our kids were in high school, and I would go to the girls' basketball games, and I would sit there and I'd watch the game and I'd leave. And after the girls' basketball games were the boys' basketball games. You had to pay to get into the boys' basketball games. You didn't have to pay to get into the girls'. And I remember when I would go to their soccer games. To get to the girls' soccer field, there was not a paved road, and there were no bleachers. You got there, you drove down a dirt road, and you sat on your car, you bought a lawn chair. I mean, some women fought for the right for girls' sports.
Well, I can best that because I'll be 75 next month. When I was in school, we didn't have women's teams.
They had school back then?
Yes, we did. And I walked uphill all the way, both ways.
In the snow. Barefoot.
No shoes. But we didn't have organized sports for women at all.
Wow.
None.
I think we had a tennis team.
We didn't have any teams.
We had a tennis team.
In fact, we were told that Southern women don't sweat, they glow.
Oh.
So we didn't do anything that made us sweat.
Well, I was in New Jersey, and I graduated in 65, and we had a tennis team. That was it.
So, see, that just goes to show you that Yankees sweat.
Well, where's Gloria Steinem now? Where are the people like her?
Right. Well, but interesting, talking about this, Bruce Jenner has been on TV a lot, and I shouldn't say Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner, in support of
women's.
Absolutely.
Yes, as you would expect of an Olympic athlete.
Right.
But if you're going to listen to somebody, why wouldn't the trans people listen to one of their own?
Because they don't want to.
Well, again, they're erasing all of the obvious barriers. They're attempting to erase all the obvious barriers. I mean, with the XX versus XY, I mean, there's some article this recently about some... I'm going to say some white woman that's decided she's Negro by origin. She has learned to speak the language. She has learned to do everything.
She's transracial.
She's transracial. I mean, so what is she eligible for? Because she has learned to speak in a certain dialect, and she's making money based on being on the phone
so
with
she's
that.
Using. Ebonics. She's speaking Ebonics.
She's speaking Ebonics. I mean, but so many of these natural barriers are being broken.
Have you ever seen any clips by Campus Reform? they send a young guy out onto various college campuses, and they ask the students about an issue. And I remember one where they were talking about this trans thing, and the guy says, well, what if I, and he's a white guy, kind of short, and he says, what if I say I identify as a Japanese woman? Would that be okay with you? And the students that he was asking these ridiculous questions to, what if I said I was a 6'4 black man? They had a hard time. They were twisting themselves into knots, going, well, I guess that would be okay. No, it's not.
Well, and I think it's because of the culture on the college campuses as a whole. Because knowing and hearing what I'm hearing, they don't really talk about their beliefs anymore because that can impinge on their grades. So they're just going with the flow, non-committal, non-anything, just kind of saying, okay, because they know what these professors are shooting at, which is all this DE, all of this stuff, and they don't want to make the controversy and get a low grade.
Well, I didn't do it in my classes.
So what do we expect when we have elementary schools where a child can come in and say they're a cat, and the school will give them a litter box?
Well, they shouldn't be at school because animals don't go to school with children. Like Mary had a little lamb. He didn't come into the school. So you don't go to school. If you're an animal, you don't go to school.
Well, you take their parents into custody, I think.
But I mean, really, this is an outcropping.
It's insane. The furries happened in New Jersey, and kids would go to the nurse, and they would pee or poop in a litter box, and then the janitor would have to come and clean the litter box.
That's ridiculous.
And I say, absolutely. And to have a superintendent of a big school district go for this, and they're the northern ones.
But you have to have that litter box, but you can't give them an aspirin.
No, you can't give them any medication, but you can transgender them without their parents knowing, but they won't give them Tylenol.
But if you talk to or listen to any of the things on TV with the detransitioners, they all say that they were mistreated and basically misdiagnosed, that all they needed to do was grow up.
Well,
they were misled, too, about this is the solution to all my problems.
And that it was abuse. And Chloe Cole, who's been in New Bern, she did a testimony at Bryce's Creek Church. And she said that the biggest mistake of her family was allowing her to have that choice before she was mentally capable of understanding what that choice meant. And that in her mind, it was abusive that was allowed to happen to her.
And how the parents were coaxed to comply with that transition idea was they said, well, would you rather have
an alive kid or a dead kid?
Yeah.
And now some of these kids have successfully sued the medical people who have done the transition, and that should slow that down a little bit.
Well, I mentioned last week that Ken Paxton, who's running against James Tallarico in Texas, he sued Texas Children's Hospital, and as part of the settlement, they have to run a detransition clinic for 5 years and detransition people for free.
Good.
As part of the settlement.
Wow.
Well, you know, with the transitioning, they are transitioning. They're transitioning from childhood to puberty. We're all transitioning the whole time. We're growing up, growing old, and growing out.
Speak for yourself.
On that, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call. Please join us at the CCTA Business and Social Meeting. We meet the fourth Thursday each month, Moore's Old Time Barbecue on Dr. MLK Boulevard in New Bern, 6:30 to 8 p.m. Your presence and participation are greatly appreciated.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org.
For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Round here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from round here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance, because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from round here.
Please join us at the CCTA Business and Social Meeting. We meet the fourth Thursday each month, Moore's Old Time Barbecue on Dr. MLK Boulevard in New Bern, 6:30 to 8 p.m.
To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters.
Well, I wanted to know what you guys were talking about this drug ring in Pennsylvania, but I think we're going on a different topic.
Let's go there.
Yeah,
the Penn State.
Two fraternities running a cocaine trafficking ring. They made trips to Pennsylvania to get their drugs. They distributed them from the fraternities. They had their pledges cutting and packaging the cocaine.
The pledges.
But you can't tell what you did as a pledge.
Right. You're a pledge. You want to get in.
Because 18-year-olds are really good at keeping secrets.
Oh.
Just ask one of them.
Especially if they're high, right?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, now I know.
Okay.
And one of the dads was the supplier. So
who said you had to be smart to go to college? Because that's about as dumb
so
as you can get.
So I guess looking at this person's name, I would say, is it a legal resident of the United States, considering the name?
We don't know.
So I would wonder if they're connected with the drug cartels out of Mexico.
Don't know.
Well, whatever it is.
You're talking about Agostino Abatiello?
Yeah. I couldn't even try to pronounce it.
Well, they were going to Pennsylvania to pick up their drugs.
From?
Going to New York. From Pennsylvania, yeah.
From Penn State.
But the drugs come from someplace.
Someplace,
right.
Yes.
But they were dealing with an intermediary.
Okay.
Yeah. So they were residents.
Yeah, but they had a whole crew to repackage the stuff.
Right. Because that's a smart move.
Well, it's shocking because you think these guys... I hope they were majoring in business.
Yes.
that you think they had enough foresight to see that this is not a path forward in my life that is going to pay off in the long term.
Especially this is not a real marketable skill.
And especially if one of your courses is an ethics course. Yes.
Yeah. Well, maybe one of these pledges was the whistleblower. So maybe there was somebody with some moral compass.
Because you got to remember, the pledges want to be in these frats.
So actually,
the whistleblower was one of the guys, and I don't know what the guy's name, but I think it was T. Ron or something like that. But he was taking Venmo payments for the drugs into his full name Venmo account.
Yeah.
And that's how they...
Well, usually, the way the undercover drug officers do it, they buy dope from some penny ante dealer, and they make him a deal if he rolls on the guy right above him. And then they do the same thing with him, and he rolls on the guy above him, and they trace it up till they get to a decent level, and then they catch that guy. So I'm sure that somebody who was buying drugs from this frat ring rolled on him.
Right.
And, you know... And then you start looking at their patterns, which would be really obvious if you've got frats running in and out of those two houses in certain patterns.
Like zigzag.
Zigzag, yeah. So now, Mary, you wanted to go in a different direction.
Well, there's a massive shipment of U.S. military equipment that has arrived in Israel. And... that's interesting to me because we're shoring up Israel, and I'm wondering if it's because, I hope, we're about to make a more definitive move on Iran. Now, Israel is getting attacked they've got rockets coming at them from Hezbollah in Lebanon. Mm-hmm. Gaza is not peaceful, although Israel has been putting cement in the tunnels.
Good.
Which will make them very hard to open up again. And they've got Iran to deal with. So we have the potential, with everything that has gone on, to actually bring peace to the Middle East. And I would like to see that.
No.
But I have a question. Based on the media, I thought that Netanyahu and Trump were at each other's throat.
Of course you thought that based on the media.
Based
That's
on
exactly
the media.
What they wanted you to think.
That's just because Mamdani wanted to arrest him as an international criminal. But and Netanyahu always seems to have negative press when he's running for re-election. But I think, I don't think that this military equipment to Israel is for Iran, for our use in Iran. I think this is for Israel to continue their battles against the other countries,
Hamas,
Hezbollah,
yeah.
Gaza, so that they can do their little wars over there while we're concentrating only on Iran and the Hormuz Strait.
Well, I suspect, and I don't have anything to back this up, I suspect Israel is giving us a lot of intelligence from Iran.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because the Mossad has been dealing with Iran for a very long time. And at one point, and this was years ago, we had a CIA asset in the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. So I suspect that they've, despite the fact that the Revolutionary Guard is a very tight-knit group, I'm pretty sure that there's some porousness there.
Did you notice that Iran has, the government has announced a $30,000 bounty?
Yes.
On American soldiers, but if you're a woman and you get one, you get $60,000. Anybody think why that is?
Why is that? Okay.
Because women are not warriors. So if an American soldier is weak enough that he can be captured by a woman, this is to his further shame.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Now, we also wanted to go with this. U.S. and Ukraine, apparently we conducted a drone warfare exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And the drones won.
The Ukrainians won.
The Ukrainian drones. Apparently, they have shown some shortcoming in the way we are ready to.
Well, they've had a whole lot of practice.
They've had a lot of practice.
They've had a lot of practice.
That's where we're learning from
them. They're kicking Russia's butt.
Yeah.
The drone warfare.
Their drones are great.
They're reaching way into Russia.
And their technology, what they're developing in technology.
It's interesting. Putin probably cannot afford to quit the war because it would probably result in him being deposed.
I don't think so.
You don't think it would get him killed in Russia?
No, I don't think so. I think the Russian people are probably tired of this war. They're shocked that they're being...
That they're not winning.
Targets so far in the interior are subject to attack, that their economy is wobbly, that the gas is overpriced.
So why are they still at war?
Well, it's a face thing, for one thing. You know, Russia was supposed to be the big bad Soviet Union and we can kick anybody's butt.
You don't want to lose.
And you can't beat Ukraine after all this time.
And Ukraine was supposed to fall in a week.
Yeah.
Or matters of days.
Yeah, kind of like us in Iran.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't we quit with Iran? Well, because we're supposed to be able to kick everybody's butt. And I said this weeks ago, you cannot bomb a country into victory.
No, we've tried that before and it hasn't worked.
We've tried it. It's not working. I think we're finally learning that. So I think I'm glad that our government seems to realize that economic warfare against Iran is going to be much more effective than throwing some more bombs at them.
But in the meantime, they're building back up again, Iran. I mean, they're starting to
No, they're not.
That's what you keep hearing.
Well, Baghdad Bob. I mean, they
nothing to see here, folks.
The Iranian propaganda said that 7 U.S. sailors got in a knife fight on one of the on one of the carriers, and our press carried it like it was true.
No.
And it came from Iran. So, you know, they're very good at propaganda.
And we're very good at
and our press is very good at
carrying.
And the pictures that were supposedly from the aircraft carrier Lincoln of their paltry meals, when they took out the cropping and showed you the whole picture, the aircraft carrier had cinder block walls. Now, I don't know of a lot of aircraft carriers that have cinder block walls.
Not that are floating.
I want to call on Bob. Bob, as both former GIs, if the GIs are not complaining about the food in the mess hall, they are not happy.
They are not happy.
That's right.
Complaining shows
it's
that
a
you,
thing.
You need to complain.
That's right.
If you aren't complaining, there is a problem.
Yes, there's a problem. Be careful. Bad stuff coming down the pike.
That's right. You've gone into a quiet mode when you are plotting.
Now, there are times on an aircraft, you were on aircraft carriers, there are times on aircraft carriers when things break and things are not ideal.
No. Sure. No.
Sure. And one of the things I just want to say, one of the things that got me was one of the complaints I heard. Well, they had been out for 8 months. He was in during Vietnam. There were nine-month cruises during Vietnam. That was just the way it was. What have we got, a bunch of wimps?
Isn't a standard cruise 8 months?
8 months, but then they go up to like 10. Sometimes they go up even further.
And again, steak and lobster says, oh, guess what? Yep. You're staying out another couple
of
weeks.
If a regular cruise is 8 months, that's what they've been out there in.
They've been out
what
there.
What are they complaining about?
Because they could.
But there's also been articles comparing the deployment times during past presidents as well as this one, and this one has not been excessive in comparison.
No.
But it's under Trump.
But according to CNN, you know, if you get your news from CNN, everything under Trump is, oh my gosh, we're all going to die.
It's a crisis, yes.
Well, I wonder who they're going to blame when Trump's not president anymore.
They'll blame him still.
J.D. Vance and Rubio. Yeah.
But don't you guys remember when the Bushes were in power? Everything was the Bushes' fault.
Yeah.
So it just...
Yeah,
it
remember just, Cindy Sheehan? She was camped out on that road to Bush's White House.
Operation Pink.
Yeah. Everything. But it just seems like it's always a Republican's fault.
Always.
Well, it has to be.
And if you read, again, if you read the news, I always laugh at when the actual economic numbers come out, because if you read the news, if the numbers are good, economists shocked by good economic report during Trump administration.
Oh, I can up you on that. How about our prime rate is lower than it's been in 20 years and nobody can figure out the reason?
They don't.
Certainly couldn't be all the illegals we're deporting.
Yeah.
And the fact that up to date, Trump has not deported as many as Obama did.
But it's Trump doing it, therefore it's worse.
Yeah.
Well, they can't give him any credit.
And the fact that, you know, like if you look at D.C. with his bringing in National Guard again, they don't have the power to do arrests. They just have the power to be. And all of a sudden,
to be shot in the head.
And all of a sudden, that city has a crime dip, and now it's got visitors. It's got
things are clean.
Oh, and how about that idiot that defaced the World War II memorial? And it turned out she was doing it because she lives in a trailer, and she wants some kind of government help, and she was just trying to get attention and help herself. And boo hoo hoo. And filmed herself and put it on Facebook. I mean, she's a Looney Tunes, and it's got nothing to do with World War II.
Well, we've got other accommodations for her now. So.
Well, no, they let her out of jail.
And she's getting accommodated. She's getting her meals.
They let her out of jail.
All paid for by us.
All paid for, okay. So one last thing, I guess.
Carolyn Leavitt has stepped away
Yep.
because she had her second child. and she wanted her family to be her first priority.
Well, I wondered when she was going to do that.
And she was a wonderful press secretary, mm-hmm. and she Fantastic. Will be missed.
And as I understand it, and I believe this would happen, that Trump said she'll still be
in the loop.
In the loop, and will be, her input is valued.
And right. I guess
you think Scott Jennings has a shot at being the next press secretary?
And I'm going to say, what is it? She was 27 years
27.
Old. 27. Folks, she's got a future.
I'd like to see Kayleigh McEnany come back.
I loved her with her book.
Okay, folks, on that, we're going to have to say that we're going to have to wrap the show up. Again, thank you for listening. This is CCTA Wake Up Call. You have a great week.